She is. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
That's a quorum.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I got thank you. I will call our meeting to order, and our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. And if Vice President Green could please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, that'd be wonderful.
Can we all stand with our hands over our heart? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
justice for liberty and justice for all.
Great. If we could please take the roll.
Director Bilodeau.
I am present.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Ma'ai.
Here.
Director Mendoza.
Present.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Ta.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
And Director Yeo.
Here.
You have a quorum with all 10 directors.
Wonderful. Are there any items that were received too late to be agendized?
There were none.
Great. Next is visitor participation. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on items pertaining to water district, though are not on our agenda, but are on the consent agenda? Any members of the public? Are there any hands up?
I see no hands raised.
Okay. Seeing no hands, we will move to our consent. Are there any items that directors would like to have pulled or make a comment or a notation on?
So move.
I have a notation, sir.
Well, let me get it. Is there a second on the motion by Director Green?
Second.
Right, second by Director Yeo. Yes, Director Bilodeau.
I'd like to record an abstention on items 6 and 7 under the provisions of Government Code 84308.
Okay. Are there any other comments or abstentions on the consent? If not,
hearing I'd like none. To recall.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I'd like to, Mr. President, I'd like to recall my abstention on item number 8 and the provision of Government Code 84308.
Thank you. Okay. We'll now take the roll, please.
Okay, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Ma'ai.
Yes.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Ta.
Yes, and abstain on number 8.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries unanimously 10-0 with an abstention on items number 6 and 7 by Director Bilodeau and an abstention by Director Ta on item number 8.
Thank you. That brings us now to our informational item, which is number 11 on the agenda, the basin storage update. If we could please have a presentation.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. President. It's my honor to introduce Mr. Brendan Neal of our hydrogeology department. And Brendan is going to give the board this presentation. Brendan.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marcus. Okay. Today I will be providing an update on storage conditions for the past water year, which is the water year from July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. We'll start out with some highlights from the water year. Because we had such a dry year, recharge was 52,000 acre feet less than budgeted from both Santa Ana River and incidental recharge. Incidental being naturally occurring mountain front recharge, any rainfall that did not end up in the Santa Ana River but was percolated nonetheless. And the dry year was included 6.9 inches of rainfall at our field headquarters in Anaheim. That's 46% lower than our 35-year average, which is about 13 inches. Okay, basin pumping was about 7,000 acre feet more than budgeted, which with a total of around 250,000 acre feet pumped, that number is really within about 3% of the budgeted amount, so not much different. GWS recharge was 4,400 acre feet less than budgeted, which again, just like the basin pumping, the GWS recharge was assumed to be about 100,000 acre feet, so within about 5% of the budgeted amount. The final highlight is the one positive note, where 23,000 acre feet of Metropolitan Water District direct replenishment water was purchased. And this was purchased with surplus revenue to hedge against a dry year, which is exactly what happened. So looking back, this was a prudent decision. So we'll first look at how we calculate the storage change in the basin. This figure shows a cross section, or really a slice running through the entire length of the Orange County groundwater basin, roughly along the Santa Ana River. And this runs from, on the upper right hand side, the Forbay area in Anaheim, where the A symbol is shown, down through the Forbay and pressure areas to the Pacific Ocean and Huntington Beach. And what I really want to point out is just the three separate aquifer systems that the Orange County groundwater basin is divided into. We have the shallow aquifer, below that the principal aquifer, where about 90% of pumping occurs. And below that, the deep aquifer. So what we do is we measure water levels in each of these three aquifers, contour the water levels, and then compare them to those of the previous year to come up with the water level change. And then from that water level change, we calculate our change in storage for each of the three aquifers. So that process begins with a pretty large data collection effort. Each of these orange dots shown on this map here of the basin represent a well that was measured for this year's storage calculation. There are several hundred of them, and it's really a collaborative effort between quite a few agencies. So OCWD measures most of the monitoring wells throughout the basin. And then the Orange County producers will measure water levels on their production wells. And the way they do that is they will shut down the production well when possible, allow that production well to remain off for some period of time, and allow that water level to return to static condition or thereabout, and then measure that water level, and they'll provide that data to us. The LA County producers are kind enough to do the same as well. Those include Long Beach, Cerritos, and Lakewood. And also the Water Replenishment District has a network of monitoring wells in Los Angeles County, being our Los Angeles County counterpart, and they provide water level data from those monitoring wells to us as well, up to about 3 miles into the LA County. And that really helps us have accurately contour our groundwater basin near the boundary between Orange and LA counties. And so we have a target date for all of this data collection, and that's June 30th. So we have about a 2-week window that we target for collecting these water levels. It's that last week of June and running into the first week of July. So each of those orange dots that we were looking at, we segregate and separate them into each of those three aquifer systems that I mentioned before. And from there, we contour the water level data, and we come up with water level contours, which are kind of similar to what you'd see on a topographic map, which you'd be looking at. Contour lines on a topographic map would represent lines of equal ground surface elevation. In this case, we're looking at these lines that represent lines of equal groundwater elevation or groundwater pressure. So this example here is from this year. It's the shallow aquifer groundwater elevations for June 2022. And the color coding here is pretty important. And each contour line is labeled, but the green lines represent groundwater elevations that are above mean sea level. And then closer to the coast, you'll see some a blue line that represents groundwater elevations that are at mean sea level, and some purple groundwater elevation lines that are below mean sea level. So overall, if you kind of step back and look at the whole basin, for the shallow aquifer, the most of those lines are all green, meaning most of the water levels in the shallow aquifer are above or well above sea level. And they're all relatively smooth parallel contours. That's because there's not a lot of pumping occurring in the shallow aquifer. So these lines are smooth, and all the water is, the groundwater is moving from the forebay to the west or to the southwest out towards the coast. One thing I'll point out is down here near the Talbert Barrier, all of the groundwater levels are at or above protective elevation seaward of the barrier. So we'll look at the same type of map for the move down one level and look at the principal aquifer. These are the principal aquifer groundwater elevations for June 2022. And one thing that sticks out right away with the same color coding is that there is much more purple, a lot more purple lines, meaning a lot of these elevations are actually below sea level. And that zero line, the cutoff.
There you go.
Is that better? So we should be looking at the principal aquifer groundwater. Okay. Thanks for letting me know. So the we're looking at a lot more purple lines, meaning that the groundwater elevations are all below sea level. And that cutoff line, that zero line, runs roughly along the 5 freeway throughout the center of the basin. And another thing you'll notice compared to the shallow aquifer map is that there are a lot more complex patterns here, and also steeper hydraulic gradients where those groundwater contour lines stack up against each other. And that's typical. We see that every year, and that's because of all the pumping that's going on in the principal aquifer. You'll see our typical, like I said, this is a typically what we see down in the RWD Dyer Road well field area and Mesa Water well area, where there's this high density of production wells. We have our low spot in our basin, which is below minus 80 feet, so below 80 feet below sea level. We also have another low point on this very western boundary, where in Long Beach and the coastal area, some of those production wells, around those production wells, water levels are also below minus 80 feet as well. So we also do contour the deep aquifer. I'm not going to show it here in the interest of time. But what we do is compare each of these contour maps for the shallow, principal, and deep to the maps that we created in the prior year, and we produce these water level change maps. So here's the water level change map for the shallow aquifer for June 2021 to 2022. And the colors here, this is more of a gradient, color gradient map, or sometimes I've heard them called heat maps, and which is relevant today. But they've got... The colors show the real warm colors, the reds, are a negative water level change. And then the greens and the cooler colors are a positive water level change relative last year. So if you kind of step back and look at the basin as a whole here, we're looking at a lot of these kind of pastel, peach colors, kind of pastel orange and greens throughout most of the basin. And I've also included some of the numbers on there just to call out, so we're not just going off the color gradient, but some wells and some particular areas I've got some of the water level change called out. So if you step back and just look throughout the basin, it's about on average 0 to 2 feet lower than last year. Some areas are zero and some areas are plus two, but generally just a foot or two, but lower than last year, except for two areas that I'll point out. So in the Anaheim, in the area near the Anaheim recharge basins, just right here under where the symbol is for the 57 freeway, this orange and red area here, water levels were 10 to 20 feet lower than they were last year. And also near the Santiago Basin area, water levels actually came up 10 to 20 feet. And that was due to Santa Ana River stormwater actually being moved up to Santiago Basin during the course of this year, this past water year, where the year prior, water was not moved up to Santiago Basin for PFAS concerns and some construction going on at Santiago Basin. Overall, one other thing I'll point out is that near the Talbert Barrier, you can see again that we have our zero water level change. And so we'll go ahead and look at the principal aquifer water level change map. Again, I like to just start and kind of consume the what we're looking at for the entire basin. It's really a lot of plus five, plus 10. It's that same color scale, but the range of water level changes are much greater than they were for the principal aquifer. And once again, that's due to groundwater pumping in the principal aquifer. We have a much greater range of water levels. Again, throughout the basin, plus five, plus 10. And then we've got about maybe four areas where things are a little bit different. And again, in that Anaheim recharge facility area, we've got some minus 10 to minus 20s. Yorba Linda Water District well field is this red bullseye here, where we've got water levels that are 20 to 40 feet lower than last year. And that's because Yorba Linda Water District was able to bring some wells online due to PFAS treatment systems being completed. Whereas last year, when we took the June water level measurements, all those wells were not online. So that accounts for that 20 to 40 foot drop. Also, Santiago Basin, again, came up 20 to 60 feet in the principal aquifer. And that's, as I mentioned, that's due to Santa Ana River stormwater being moved up to Santiago Basin during the year. And then one other area in the Irvine area, water levels decreased by about 5 to 15 feet. So again, layer three, we did do our contour map, and then we produced a water level change map, but we're not going to show that here. So once we have all three water level change maps, we use our geographic information system to calculate the change in storage for each of those aquifer systems, which gives us this. This is the just a graph showing each of the change in each of the basins in our grand total for the year, if we add up all three basins. So over the course of the year, the grand total is minus 10,000 acre feet, and that is comprised of a minus 13,000 acre feet in the shallow aquifer, no change in the principal aquifer, and a positive 3,000 acre feet in the deep aquifer. It's pretty typical to see a greater change in the shallow aquifer, and that's just due to the nature of the shallow aquifer. It's a water table aquifer. So therefore, as water levels move up and down, the actual pore spaces in the aquifer are wetted and drained, and which accounts for more storage. Whereas the principal aquifer and the deep aquifers are both really just pressure aquifers, even though they may fluctuate more than the shallow, or particularly the principal, you just don't see as much storage change. So big picture, how does that minus 10,000 acre feet, what does that minus 10,000 acre feet look like in the basin? Here's a schematic showing the basin operating range and the accumulated overdraft. So the basin operating range is 0 acre feet would be a full basin, and minus 500,000 acre feet would be the bottom of the safe operating range. Here in green is the target overdraft, which is between minus 150,000 to minus 200,000 acre feet. And we began the year on June 30th, 2021 at minus 248,000 acre feet. And then if we subtract that 10,000 acre feet, we ended up at minus 258,000 acre feet. This shows at this scale, especially kind of points out that for such a dry year, like I mentioned, only 6.9 inches of rain at our field headquarters, there really wasn't that much change. It actually ended up, actually ended up in a pretty good situation to only decrease by 10,000 acre feet. So I'll quickly show this accumulated overdraft over time since 1969, which kind of drives home that same point. We've got our same target overdraft here in green. And about 3 years ago, 2019, 2020, we were right in the bottom of that target range. In that time since, we've had two consecutive dry years and really only decreased by this small amount, particularly this last year where we see June 2022, we're at 258,000 acre feet. So not much of not a steep drop given the dry year. So finally, we'll review the components of the groundwater balance for water year 21-22. We have the inflows and outflows to the basin listed in the left-hand column. And then the second column is the budgeted amounts of those inflows and outflows, assuming average hydrology, which is what we assume in the beginning of the year. And then the third column were the actual inflows and outflows. And then, of course, our last column was the difference with a lot of these red terms here. So the Santa Ana River base and storm flow recharge, we had budgeted for 125,000 acre feet when in actuality, with our 6.9 inches of rainfall, we only recharged about 108,000 acre feet. Incidental recharge, we had budgeted 56,000 acre feet, and in actuality only recharged just over 20,000 acre feet. So the difference of these, if you combine the difference in these first two terms here, that's where you come up with that 52,000 or just over 52,000 acre feet, less than anticipated of recharge for the year. GWR system, we anticipated 97,000 acre feet and the actual recharge was 92,600. The Met supplies, we did not budget for any, but like I'd mentioned with that budget surplus, we were able to purchase 23,000 acre feet and recharge that. That's our one positive term here. Other waters, including Alamitos Barrier, Talbert, OC44, Fountain Valley, we were very close, just 300 acre feet different than budgeted. So if we add up all these actual terms, total water into the basin was 247,000 acre feet, just about, which is 34,000 acre feet less than budgeted. And the total basin pumping, as I mentioned before, we were about 7,000 acre feet more pumping than we had anticipated. So our storage change, we had anticipated at the beginning of the year that the storage change would be an increase of 31,000 acre feet. But in actuality, as we just saw, the storage change was minus 10,000 acre feet. So we had anticipated that we would have an accumulated overdraft at this time of 217,000 acre feet when we're really looking at an accumulated overdraft number of 250,000 acre feet. And with that, I will end my presentation and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
President Sheldon, you have three hands raised. Doug Reinhart, Director Rowe, and Director Yeo.
I'll go to Director Yeo if I hear for the first question.
Well, thank you, and sorry, Kelly. Yeah, Brandon, thank you for the presentation. Can you go back to the previous slide, please?
Sure.
Thank you. And so last year we had some producers that had to temporarily turn off some pumps, some wells because of PFAS issues. How much of that, it would have been a lot worse, right? Had they kept their pumps on. So do you happen to know what the quantity is approximately, just out of curiosity?
So the quantity, so the budgeted amount given average hydrology conditions, that did include the anticipated, it did include that we would that some wells would be producing less relative to a regular year without any PFAS issues. I believe maybe a few years ago, the typical total basin pumping would be around 300,000 acre feet. And hopefully someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it'd be 290 to 300,000.
Yeah. Hi, this is Roy. I would say it'd be in the 300 to 310,000 acre feet. That's kind of the more the typical range of pumping if we didn't have these PFAS issues.
Okay, got it. Thank you. So that's like about 15 to 20% more had we not suspended some wells from pumping, right?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll go next to Director Rowe. I was just going in the order to complete it with the director from IRWD being last after our directors have asked questions. But Director Rowe, you're up.
I asked your addition. Thank you. I just thought I'd point out a pet peeve I have. Here we have used the end of June as the point in which we measure water levels to determine what the groundwater basin status is. And the U.S. Geological Survey has several different water years, one of which is the rainfall water year, which goes from July to June, which we are using. But then U.S. Geological Survey also uses the groundwater water year, which goes from October to September, in which traditionally the water levels are lowest at the end of September when they repumped out the groundwater. This is throughout the country. And so they use that as a basis. So we're kind of getting the false picture of what our groundwater basin conditions are when probably from the end of June to the end of September, water levels are a little lower than what our staff has produced. But we're kind of stuck with this traditionally, looking at what our basin conditions are. And I accept that. Let's not change that. But I also like to point out that we also have a record of what the water basin conditions are using 1970 as being when the basin is full. And I'd like to point out that is based upon when we had the basin full from using a lot of Colorado River water that recharged our groundwater basin to fill it up. Before that, from the 1950s, we had groundwater basin conditions where it was at least 700,000 acre feet below the full conditions. We do have 66 million acre feet of groundwater in our basin stored throughout the groundwater basin, and we only use 0.5% of the groundwater basin storage and replenish that every year with Santa Ana River water and Colorado River water and now GWRS water. To maintain the water supplies for our basin. People, I think, are getting a little concerned with the lack of water from the Colorado River water and the State Water Project as being, they think that's our water supply. You ask 9 out of 10 people and they say, oh my God, Colorado River water is down and we don't have water in Orange County. We have to remind ourselves and our constituents that yes, we have a lot of groundwater in our basin that can be used. And we have a reliable supply right there, which I think we can use the groundwater basin better. As a groundwater basin management agency, we should do so. So I hope that we can look at other ideas in moving forward in advancing how we can use more of the groundwater basin. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd be remiss, as Director Rowe, if you could just quickly qualify. When you say better, you mean that we should be pumping more water over and above the 500,000 acre foot that we self-impose. Is that what you're stating?
Yes, I've stated that to you in the past.
Right.
And I think that we can do that. We just have to be concerned about seawater intrusion. And I proposed in the past, 25 years ago, and it's included in the GWRS EIS, to put in a coastal network of seawater intrusion injection wells and replenishment wells along the coast within 3 miles of the beach on the upside of the Newport Inglewood fault zone. And we could take all of GWRS water and put it into these injection wells along the coast.
And we, with those injection wells in place, how far away would a water production well be to increase
Right now, we tell people don't pump near the coast.
Right, and I understand that. Wondering, that be in Anaheim? Would that be in La Palma, where we have water going to LA County? Where would you think?
It's parallel to the beach, 3 miles inland on the upside of the Newport Inglewood Fault Uplift area. It's included in the EIR, EIS for GWRS. It's what I call the final phase of GWRS to have a complete management of the groundwater basin to prevent seawater intrusion and to inject water along the coast so that we can pump down the groundwater basin without having to worry about seawater intrusion.
I understand that 3 mile, what I'm asking is where would that's where we're injecting water. Where would we be pumping water? Where would our water production wells be to exceed this 500,000 acre foot that we self-impose?
Exactly where the production wells are right now. We have a 3 mile long partial seawater intrusion barrier in Orange County with the Talbot barrier, okay, which I'm intimately familiar with. And I'm proposing to do like a 12 mile barrier from Fountain Valley, replacing the old 3 mile, 50 year old pipeline to go all the way to LA County.
Well, that's something I think you've raised, and we should have some information back from our staff to just address your comments. I think that would certainly be warranted. So I appreciate it. And I'll move on now to Director Reinhart for Irvine Ranch Water District.
Thank you, Chair Sheldon. A couple questions and then one moving on the presentation, then one looking forward. I would have expected to see like some sort of a mound where the injection in mid-basin injection is. Can that be pointed out, or is that not really making much difference?
Yeah, less of a mound at this scale. It doesn't really show up as a mound around mid-basin injection. If you were to go more, here's mid-basin, and I don't know if you can see that, but here's mid-basin injection where my cursor is.
Okay. I think it's just a little to the north. It's like at the top of that arrow, that little arrow.
Yeah.
So if we were to get down to granular, it would show more then, right?
Yeah.
It would show more, and it is, I think, maintaining, I think this minus 80, if mid-basin injection were not operating, could be a little bit lower where the bottom of this arrow is here. It could be below into the next contour interval, maybe minus 100 or minus 90.
Okay, thank you. And then how many wells are actually in the shallow aquifer? Do you know?
Production wells or monitoring wells?
Yeah, production wells.
No, I'm not too sure exactly.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I believe it only represents a few percent of all the basin pumping is from wells that at least partially tap into the shallow aquifer. I know Garden Grove has one well, their well 28, I think pumps quite a bit from the shallow aquifer, but it's one of the very few wells that pumps from the shallow.
And thank you for that, Roy. Then moving forward, as several of your staff was and a couple of your directors were present for the MODOC directors board meeting today. Would we look and do some modeling if we had a really bad, continuing bad Northern California situation and a collapse of the Colorado River, what that might mean for reach for RA water, replenishment water, and what it might mean for other things? Are we going to look at that as we go forward, kind of do a sensitivity analysis on that?
I'll answer that, Director Reinhart. The answer to your question is yes. You're probably aware that with GWRS, the final expansion coming online later this year, early part of next year, we'll be adding an additional 31,000 acre feet of water supply into the basin, which probably will result in an increase of the BPP from 77% to 82%. So our modeling has shown that we can maintain an 82% BPP in the future with the additional purchase of 40,000 acre feet of untreated met water. So if that met water became unavailable and we were unable to purchase it, we would probably have to drop the BPP potentially back down to where it is now, to 77%. So we're in relatively good position, I think, with the final expansion, with having 134,000 acre feet of water available for recharge into the basin, moving on an ongoing basis. We should be protected, somewhat protected from any severe shortages from Metropolitan.
And thank you, General Manager Marcus. My question was really, we're going to look at that kind of stuff and you know, kind of plan for the worst case scenario in case it does happen. That's what I was really kind of wondering.
Yeah, and I think we do that, Director Reinhardt, when we have the discussions on the setting of the RA and BPP. I think we try to look at worst case scenario, you know, 34,000 acre feet of base flow, which is our adjudicated right, and GWS flow, and maybe no met water. But we can certainly look and should look at those scenarios moving forward into the future as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Director Reiner, I have a question. I think, though, you were implying that we should be just pumping more in the overall basin is what I understood you to ask.
Was that a question for me? I'm sorry.
Yes, it was a question for you.
No, I just wanted to see the effect of the mid-basin injection to see if it was really accomplishing what we're hoping it is going to accomplish. That was my question. Yeah, we're going to just pump the hell out of it. It's a joke. It's a joke.
You're being facetious. Okay, I'm just taking everyone's opinion is valuable here. So just taking them all in.
And I think as Brendan pointed out, and he is correct, in the past, if you looked at these presentations, we'd always show a pumping depression in that area, but it would be actually lower. 90 to 100 degrees, as I recall, below sea level. So we have seen an improvement in that area with the five mid-basin injection wells. But it probably, and I'd leave this to Roy, but it probably won't get much better than it currently is. We'll probably always have a depression of say that magnitude in that area.
Yeah, and he answered that question that it's probably more granular than you're showing us here, so it doesn't really show up to, you know, what degree that is. That was all I was wondering. Thank you.
Director Yeo would like to speak.
Okay, I have a couple of questions also. Director Yeo, if I could just get one out real quick here, and I'll call on you. This is for Mike Marcus. I believe we have about 210-ish water production wells that are operating in our service area?
That's about right. Yeah, I've always heard 200, so 210.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know offhand at what percent capacity they operate overall?
I would defer to John. I could give he would probably have a better estimate than I would. I mean, currently we have some 40 wells that are shut down because of PFAS. But on average, I would assume that of those 200 to 210 wells, that they're operating at a very high capacity. I would say 80% of the time, roughly 80% online.
So there's not the question. There's not a lot of room for them to operate at a higher level, potentially.
At a higher BPP, that's going to be an issue with some of the producers. I think a couple of them, they may not even be able to pump to a 82% BPP with the current amount of wells that they have. So they would have to maybe add an additional well to meet that level. And there's some producers that don't, you know, need to take a certain amount of water from Met to move, to use the pressure in the Met pipelines to move it to higher elevations in their systems. You know, at 82%, I think that's just about the maximum amount that producers would be able to pump out of the basin.
I believe some jurisdictions like Anaheim have all of Anaheim Hills doesn't have water production wells, has their conveyance system, and that may be at its maximum level as well. So there's other issues that are out there.
Yeah. In fact, Anaheim has their own water treatment plant up in Anaheim Hills.
Right.
So they take Met untreated water and run it through their treatment plant and then serve it to the Anaheim Hills area.
Director Yeo, you had a question. I thank you for being patient.
Yeah, thank you, President Shelton. Just following the lines of thought, you know, I'm curious about, I'm not a hydrogeologist, you know, Director Rowe's comments. I don't think that the staff or anyone has answered, well, maybe Mike, you have sort of answered that. Like 82 is really the threshold. So by tapping into it some more may not be beneficial to the producers, right? To most of the producers. Is that why we're not perhaps exploring the possibility of safely tapping to the basin some more?
I mean, we can always have the discussion, but just to answer your question, Director Yeo, the answer to that would be yes. We've always felt that if we went beyond 500,000 acre feet, that we could be running into potential subsidence issues. And certainly staff feels that we don't want to run the risk of finding out whether or not there would be subsidence in the Orange County area if we pumped below 500,000. 500,000 seems to be an adequate zone or area in which to be able to manage the basin effectively. And the other thing, if you pump below that, you start running into problems potentially, and especially along the coast, with the amber colored water that would require treatment if we pump to lower elevations. That's a whole different conversation than what we're talking about now, but just to answer your question.
Is it because in the 70s that we run as low as negative 500,000 and we did not run into a subsidence issue? Are there any ways to model to see if at what level we may potentially experience subsidence?
Well, I guess right now,
something that we cannot experiment.
Yeah, that's a tough one to experiment with, but I would argue that right now there is not the need to pump further or below 500,000 acre feet on a regular basis. I mean, it's just a dangerous proposition.
Got it. Thank you.
Our average production wells are at about 1,000 to 1,200 feet down.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And so take Mesa's project. They go down 10,000 feet to that deep area.
No. They're about 1,000 feet. It's because the aquifer that has the amber colored water actually starts to shallow up as you get close to the southern edge of the basin. So Mesa doesn't have to pump as deep as IRWD pumps the amber-colored water. IRWD is just a few miles inland, and they have to go much deeper just because the geology brings the basin deeper. So it just depends on where you are.
And then they have to treat that colored water.
Yes.
Those are all, you know, things to look at. Say, any other questions?
Director Rowe?
Yeah. Actually, I have a point I want to make before I forget. On this map that we have up, could we overlay like the the 405, the 55, the 22, the just a couple of freeways to give us a feeling of where we're at.
Sure. We actually have that on there, Director Sheldon. It's kind of hard to see. Can you run your cursor, Brandon, like the 22?
We all know how bad my eyes are, so I apologize.
I know. But they are on there. They're not really, you really have to kind of search for them.
You kind of have to start with the symbols, and then there's a light gray line underneath each of them.
You know, they're right there. Sorry. I see it now, but maybe some more.
Maybe we can use a different color to make
it pop. We can do that.
Absolutely.
Well,
sure. Steve, I just want you to know those are the first things I notice. Okay.
I'm sure you do. Yeah, of course. So, yeah, thank you, sir. All right. Well, I feel a little silly now, but thank you. All right. Well, Director Rowe, you had a comment.
Yes, I did. Part of the purpose of the Board of Directors is to challenge the bureaucracy of the staff to basically say, everything's fine. We don't need to do anything. But I say that, yes, we can do better. Mike has pointed out to me in the past, and it's reasonable to say we're concerned about subsidence. Well, I'd say maybe we've already had subsidence that's permanent that has occurred in Orange County because we pumped down the groundwater basin below 700,000 acre feet in the 1950s. And we have several studies that are available online and staff's well aware of, where we have a change on seasonally of about 1 inch of subsidence that goes up and down every year for every 100,000 acre feet of a pumping that we have in the basin. I've asked Mike, and I think he's ignored it at this point, to basically compile the data on what subsidence has been in Orange County groundwater basin, so we can understand better what our groundwater pumping and subsidence issues are, relationships to that, for us to benefit from that. We don't have subsidence, I think, geologically, because we have a different geological condition in our groundwater basin with more sands and gravels than in the Central Valley of Great Valley of California, where they have more silts and clays and clays claps. So we have less clays, I think, that are going to be an issue with us drawing down the water levels. And they certainly have pumped down the groundwater levels much more what I think that we could foreseeably do at this time. I think we need to do groundwater basin modeling, of which we have a model that's been in existence for about 40 years, and do planning for a seawater intrusion and replenishment I call a complete coastal network, so that we can be able to manage our groundwater basin better. So I think subsidence is an issue that we should say, let's be concerned about, but let's compile what the history is and plan for what the future will be. So it's prudent for us as managers of the basin to do that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any other basins that may be similarly situated to ours in the state, in the world? Anywhere that Roy or Mike, does anything come to mind?
Well, the Central Basin next door is actually very similar. It's basically the same aquifer. We just have a political boundary between us. So it's similar in size and similar in geology.
Okay, and what's their pumping levels in acre feet?
It's in the same order of magnitude. I think they operate their basin just a bit lower than ours by, I think, a couple hundred thousand acre feet below, so we say we don't want to go below 500,000. I think they may be closer to 700,000 or 800,000, but in the grand scheme of things, those are pretty close numbers. I mean, just looking at basin to basin. Chino Basin is down 400,000 right now, from what I understand. So, right.
So what's fascinating is that we don't measure this like a measuring cup. You've got, this much and this much, and we measure it by just the volume that we take out of the basin is what we can take out. We don't measure the height of the water in the aquifer, if that's possible. It's just really based on what we extract from it for our measuring cup, correct?
Yeah, we do our accounting, so we know how much we recharge, so we can actually just add up the numbers. That's one way we can calculate it, which we do pretty decent job. But we actually, based on the water levels, we actually do measure the actual water levels and we benchmark that against a full condition. So we kind of have two ways of estimating it, and they come out pretty close.
Right. I guess what I meant, you're right. We do get those reports once a year of what those levels are. I meant more, we don't base this on those levels. We base in what's a level where we're closing, where we're approaching a problem. We base just upon the volume of the water that we extract out. And then you kind of back into what that level is going to be. But it just does seem like it would certainly, this situation would merit looking at this further. So,
yeah, it's a complex issue that Director Rowe's pointing out. Its subsidence is very, very complicated, and it's worthy of a future conversation with the board or the Water Issues Committee to discuss it in more detail. I would just simply add that the idea of using the basin more, there's obviously, it's good. We've always wanted to utilize the basin as much as it sustainably can be used. But the deeper you pump, forgetting about subsidence, forgetting about seawater intrusion, but if you do draw the basin down to several hundred, 700,000, 800,000, or 1 million, you got to figure out how you're going to fill it back up again. So just from a volume standpoint, drawing it down is one issue. But having a mechanism and a plan in place and a way of getting water to fill it up from time to time to be sustainable, that's the other part of the equation.
Well, not only that, but you'd have to drill deeper wells.
And deeper wells, right.
And the cost of energy to pump it up would be a tremendous cost. So you're talking about abandoning the 200 wells you have and drilling new deeper wells to tap into that deeper zone. And I think we show that we can very effectively manage the basin, even at an 82% BPP, within that 500,000 acre foot range. And
I'll leave it. I didn't hear anyone suggest that we abandon our 200 wells and we construct 200 new ones to go deeper. We're just talking about this. So
I know, but if you operate the basin at deeper right, levels,
I think we're looking at wanting to test it out or something. And like, let's take a look at the
sure, we can come up with something.
You go up the Santa Ana River before Prado, and you're going to leave the county at a certain point after Gypsum Canyon. But could there be production wells up there that would necessarily at 1,000 feet affect the water down at Anaheim Lake? Can we go to the easterly point of our county and pump there, for example? I don't know if we have any. Is that Roy or Mike? There's a reason why we haven't done that. I mean, there probably is a reason, but if you can.
There is. The aquifers are very thin there. If you pumped out of the Santa Ana Canyon along the 91 freeway, you could pump water. You could put a bunch of wells in the riverbed or near the river. They'd only be about 100 feet deep before you hit bedrock. And essentially what you'd be doing is pumping water out of the river. So you're just kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Understood. I wasn't aware of the bedrock.
Yeah.
The bedrock. So that's why we're asking the questions.
Sure. It's a good question.
I'm looking for modeling and planning. Modeling
and planning. All right. Well, I think this is, with our water situation, this is a great conversation. And, I think the answer is we need more water supply. So that's what our representatives in Sacramento need to hear, because we're not producing enough water supply that can be produced, or saving water supply before it goes out to the ocean. That's not occurring in the Beta Delta. So any other comments, questions? This is great. Maybe we can talk more about just some information flow to come back to the board on these topics and what's a reasonable analysis for the staff to look out toward, have that conversation. Okay, I'll move on to seeing no other hands. We'll move on to the PFAS, the wonderful PFAS issue. And Director Rowe, thank you for your comments. And if Director Yeo, Director Rowe, thank you both. And we'll go to our PFAS update.
Thank you, Mr. President. It looks like Chris Olson is anxious to give this one. So, Chris.
Yes, thanks, Mike.
The stage is yours.
Thank you. And good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. We'll go through a quick update on the design and construction. As we are right now, we're more in the construction. We've got more than before in operation. I'm showing 19. I'll get to what that means. We have 21 in construction and 19 in design. So just a quick reminder, we have the Fullerton Kim 1A in operation serving customers water. Garden Grove Well 21, same thing. Also Garden Grove Well 30, the Serrano Water District's two wells, and Yorba Linda Water District Treatment Plant for 10 wells. The reason why I changed it to 19, we do have the four orange wells. Although they're not serving to customers right now, they are in operation. Three of those wells have been loaded with resin as of today, and the fourth, well 9, will be loaded on Friday. So all goes well, we should be possibly serving water by next week for these four wells for the phase one of Orange. So great news for the city of Orange. And just a quick view of what those look like, the sites. Here's the well 9, 19, well 23, and 24. So we'll get them in operation, then we'll come back and get the paving done. They'll be buttoned up and that contract will be closing and water will be served for those four. So looking at what we have currently in construction, it's the remaining city of Garden Grove. The well 29 looks done. It is done. We're still waiting on a gas regulator, supposed to get that in the next several weeks, end of this month, get those vessels loaded with resin and get this site up and running also. And we have another shot here showing the cartridge filters. We have the lamps in a reservoir. That's for the two wells, 23 and 28. This is the last image you've seen where the pre-filters are installed. But since then, they've got the foundation pads installed and they're just moving forward preparation to getting those vessels installed over there at the lamps and reservoir. For East Orange County, for their three wells at their one site, a lot of concrete work's been going on, a lot of vessel foundation, chemical building foundation, the pre-filter foundation. So a lot of that work has happened already. Here's another shot of some of the controls and all the electrical conduits going in. And they've got their prefabricated chemical building has been installed. So a lot of work going on at East Orange County. At IRWD OPA 1, that well site, the last image I believe I showed was the house demolition, which is right next door to the well site. So that's been done. This is what it looks like. It's been sites cleared. And what they're doing, what they're working on right now is preparing for the recessed pit. So they're getting all the formwork and the framing prepared to over excavate and get that concrete recessed pit poured, similar to how it looks over at Serrano Water District. Looking over at Santa Ana, the Santa Ana 40 well site, this one's moving along relatively quickly. We already got the vessels installed over here. So a lot of just process piping, vessels installed, a lot of other site work going on. Looking probably going to be loading media. It's going to be a few more months. They got some, the electrical controls and the components to get taken care of. But this one's moving on schedule as of right now for the Well 40 site. For the city of Anaheim, as you know, there's two phases. There's the phase A, that's eight wells. Three of them are their separate wells. That's the La Palma Energy Field and Boysen Park wells. And then the remainder are around our Anaheim Lake, and that's referred to as the Linda Vista wells for Anaheim. A little update of what's going on with the phase A at the Energy Field site. They're just over halfway done with construction. Got an image coming up here where the vessels and the filters have been secured to the slabs, and they're getting the process above ground piping installed. Here's that image. Similarly, over at La Palma, they're about a third done with construction. Same thing, the vessels and the filters being installed and the process piping. This is what it looks like at La Palma. At the Linda Vista site, more so completing the rough grading and the underground below slab piping. It's the electrical conduits for for the buildings and the slabs can be poured in a few weeks. This is actually 2 weeks old, so it might be coming up maybe next week for this concrete pour. But here's what that site looks like. You can see all the stub ups for the electrical and the columns going over there. And then their other site, the Boisa Park, they're planning on construction beginning next month in October. They have submitted to DDW the OMMP, that's the Operational Maintenance Monitoring Plan, for all four sites, and they're planning on completion summer next year. So their other phase is phase B, and that's for six wells at five sites. And the progress for that is they just received 100% design, and they shared that with me also. So that's kind of how I've been working with them, reviewing it with them, spending some time, but they're moving along. So they got 100% in, they're planning on starting construction, mobilizing to the sites in October, November of this year, shooting for a fall of 23 completion. So for the remainder, like I said, we've got a lot in construction and we're about to start two more. As you recall, we issued construction contracts for Fullerton Main Plant and Golden State Water Company, three wells at two sites. And we are about to have a contractors mobilize out this month for those two projects. And what the other thing we're about to do is advertise another two construction contracts, and that's for Tustin, that's their four wells at the centralized plant, and Orange Phase Two, which is three additional wells for Orange. So in the process of wrapping up the 100% design, planning on the next two, maybe 3 weeks, we'll be advertising for those two projects. And then beyond that, the design work that's still ongoing is for Santa Ana three wells, which is at 60%. And that is the update. Be happy to answer any questions. President Sheldon, you are muted.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was getting a gotcha. Drink and something to apologize. Any questions on the PFAS? I did not see any hands up when I looked a moment ago, so I don't think there are any hands now. Thank you very much, Chris. Well, we appreciate the update.
Director Rowe
did raise his hand after I checked. Director Rowe.
Yeah, I was after you checked. Here, Chris, I put in a well for La Palma in their city yard 40 years ago, and La Palma is only 1 square mile area. PFAS has gone over that far that they need to have treatment.
You said you put it in the La Palma well for the city of Anaheim?
No, La Palma.
It's La Palma. It's the street La Palma in the city of Anaheim.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the city of La Palma. Yeah.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Chris, thank you for the update. Appreciate it. Thank you for all the good work on this important item that came to us that we didn't seek out, and you're doing a great job of addressing it. Our next item is the SOPA report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President and fellow directors. There is no report this evening. Our first meeting in September was canceled, so nothing to report this evening.
Great. We'll go to our committee reports, and there is the retirement committee. The report is in the packet, and is the report on the property committee. Director Bilodeau. Yeah, the report for the property committee, for those that are interested, can be found in our board packet, and we'll now move on to our vote reports, and there's no president's report for today. Any general manager's report?
Well, I would just say, no, we took the opportunity before the meeting to welcome the new general manager of the Yorba-Linda Water District, but I would just like to extend that welcome now that all of our directors here. Mark Toy has been on the job for a little over a week. And as many of you know, we knew Mark in his previous life with the Army Corps of Engineers, recently retired Major General. We got to know Mark probably about 15 years ago when he was the district commander out here in Los Angeles, and he moved on as chief of staff in Washington, then up to division command up in San Francisco, and was always very helpful with the initiatives that we had going on at the time, whether we were looking for emergency deviations or whatever. So it's nice to have Mark back home. I can give you his bio, I guess. He grew up in Huntington Beach, lives in Los Al right now. And just want to welcome you again, Mark, to the Orange County water community.
Mike, I just want to thank everybody, first honorable board members of the Orange County Water District, President Miller, and ladies and gentlemen. Can't tell you how excited I am to be here and be part of this team, and just getting really excited to listen to all the things that you were working on and where I can help you. I'm told when I retired July 1st that I have a cooling off period with the Corps of Engineers that will prevent me from meeting with them, but that doesn't prevent me with telling Mr. Marcus all the secrets and where all the skeletons are buried. But all kidding aside, I do have a lot of thoughts. Mike's reached out to me about some of the initiatives that are going on, particularly with forecast informed reservoir operations, something that I've worked with him prior to when I was in division command. So I think I might be able to help with some strategies in that regard. And I think it really comes down to making sure that people in Washington, D.C. really understand the challenges that are going on out west, because it's a long way from there. You all are incredible professionals doing incredible work out here. And there's a lot of people that want to help, particularly Congresswoman Grace Napolitano, who I'm very close with and meet with on a regular basis. And she's always touting the challenges of what we are facing here out in the West. So I want to be able to use my federal contacts, especially since I just retired, to help not only Yorba Linda, but also the Orange County Water District, because I know we've got a great partnership with all of you. So I look forward to working with all of you and helping in any way I can, even beyond just the confines of Yorba Linda. President Miller has been very supportive about trying to make sure that I'm a great team player and work with everyone so that we can all capitalize on what we need to do to bring highlight to the challenges that we are at West. So I'm excited to working with you, and hopefully I can do so face-to-face. I'm excited about the Orange County Water Summit that's coming up. I'll be there in person. So for those of you that are going to be out there, I look forward to shaking your hand. But thank you for the warm welcome. And I have a lot of admiration for Mike Marcus, both professionally and as a person, and many of you that I've worked with before, President Sheldon, and also Ms. Kathy Green as well. Ma'am, thank you very much for your help in transition. Thank you all.
Thank you, General Manager Toy. And now that our meeting has gone a shocking hour and 10 minutes,
President,
I'd like to ask you a question. And if you come back here, General Manager Toy, you know, in light of your experience at the Corps and your observations, if you had a magic wand for California, could you summarize how maybe what you would do to fix our water supply problem?
Well, really, I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, I've been out for the rest of the board members. I've been in Korea for the last 2 years watching missiles being launched from North Korea, but it didn't stop me from thinking about some of the challenges that we might have. One of the things that Mike talked about is, even though I've worked in the West, I've also had division command in the central part of our nation, in the Great Lakes and Ohio River Division, the Mississippi Valley Division. And what I found working in those divisions versus on the West is, I think what we need to do as a region is leverage the authorities that are out there, at least within the core portfolio, to the maximum extent possible. And that's really making a lot of our congressional folks aware or help develop legislation so that it could benefit us out in the West. I know I've worked with Greg there. I saw him in this, and I know he does this job really, really well, as well as Mike. But there's a lot of existing authorities that are out there, and we need to leverage those authorities to the greatest extent possible. And then once we get the authorizations, get the appropriations, and, you know, knowing how this works, at least within the core, within the federal government, or if we're able to maybe even bring out teams, congressional folks from those authorizing and appropriating committees out to see the projects out west, all the great work that you're doing, I think there might be opportunities here, especially with a national issue like the drought, where we can really bring awareness to the things that we face here. I think the people in the mid part of the country do this extremely well, based on my experience, especially in Mississippi, where they have authorities that have been on the books for a very, very long time, where they're able to get cost share much greater than the cost shares that we're used to out here in the West. You know, the 50-50, the 20%. In some cases, you can see 100% cost shares that are borne by the federal government in the Mississippi Valley Division. So I want to be able to work with the local Corps personnel to see if we can leverage those authorities so that we can appropriate it and then bring more money. Because I think what we're seeing now with the bipartisan infrastructure law and the monies that are coming through Bureau of Reclamation that are going to EPA, this is the time now where we could really leverage those other authorities. So I think that would help us create a federal investment that may not have been occurring in the past that will help us all as a region fund a lot of the projects that we have going. I hope that answers your question, sir.
I appreciate your opinion. Thank you. Your thoughts. Great. We'll go now to our director's reports. Are there any directors?
President Sheldon, you have two hands raised. Director Green okay. and Director Rowe.
Let's go to Director Green. We haven't heard from you yet this evening.
Mark, I'm so excited that you're back in Orange County and bringing up the cost share issue is something that's been dear to my heart. I know we've talked about it, and I'm so pleased that you're already thinking in those terms. So welcome aboard. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Director Rowe.
Yes, General Troy, I've never met you before, but I think we'll be best friends. I like to meet with you and discuss a number of core issues. I think I'm familiar with, I worked for FEMA for 10 years across the country with a lot of core folks, and I think we'll have a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I think, you know, you mentioned about modeling and planning, and right away, I know there's a lot of federal agencies, Institute of Water Resources, that actually could help us with a lot of this, sir, and we just need to ask. Thank you.
Great. We have those two comments. Any other directors? Not seeing any. I will go to General Counsel report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Well, wait a minute. Excuse me. A director's report. I just wanted to comment in this part of the agenda. There was an article in the Register this week regarding the Prado Dam spillway redo on the mural on the face of the spillway that everybody sees every day going up there. And they quoted that the Ken Calvert got $2.5 or $3.5 million to help redo that. They also said that he thought it was an ugly thing and should get rid of it, but now he's for, you know, getting it fixed. And they included the Riverside County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and the Orange County Water District as being participants in the restoration of this. I called Greg Woodside, and he basically contacted folks where he said that the update is the article is flawed. It's more the Riverside County Parks Department that is going to be engaged in this, and we have no connection with that. Although I think it's kind of a nice thing to be part of the participants in the future to basically be associated with this, because it's a national historical monument, as far as I'm concerned. I think a lot of people think of that way also. But the plan is, instead of just simply eradicating it, getting rid of the lead-based paint that is on this massive mural, is to remove it and then replace it with some sort of painting to duplicate what was there. So I thought people would be interested in knowing what the status is of that in the future, and that we don't have any money in it at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rowe. And I will add to that, that perhaps to the chagrin of not, I think, then Colonel Toy, but there were some members of the Corps of Engineers that weren't ecstatic about that situation 10, 15 years ago. But the board, when I was board president that time under the leadership, we endorsed the program to restore that spirit of 1776 on the mural, and our board took a formal action to vote in, and we did. So I think that may have been something that the news accounts were referring to, but we've been supportive of that from the very beginning. Thank you.
Director Whitaker has his hand raised.
Okay, Huda, go ahead.
As a director's report, I merely wanted to share that on August 24th, 25th, 26th, that I attended the Urban Water Institute's annual conference, their 29th conference. And the point that was important among many interesting discussions were at high levels, it was conceded that we can't pretty much conserve our way out of the problems right now in the West, that we're going to have to locate and acquire and create new supply. So the attendees were quite interesting as well. I merely wanted to share that with the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Whitaker. There were some great conferences, some great sessions at that conference. So now to our general counsel, Jeremy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Not much to say tonight, no report, and we have no closed sessions this evening.
Thank you. So with all that said, everyone have a great evening, and we are adjourned. Good night.